magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. We'll pick up right where we left off yesterday on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, as we're in the midst of a 55-minute broadcast called Valentine's Live, a feature of the Moody Broadcasting Network, highlighting music by Mark Schultz, and this lighthearted, comedy, drama-filled reader's theater presentation of 1 Corinthians 13 is hosted by John Gager and Roy Peterson with the Moody Broadcasting Network. They're in the midst of a little skit, and so we'll pick up right where we left off yesterday on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
I see that we have each of us holding here a name, a word. We've got Kiss, Jet, and Arrow, each assigned to one of our three volunteers. And you're going to make that sound whenever we point to you as we perform for you, first time ever, live and on national radio, but don't be nervous. The original story, Kiss, Jet, and Arrow on Valentine's Live. Let's applaud our volunteers as we get started. Now remember, when I point to you, make the sound that's on your card. Here we go. Frankie was in love with Franny. Cupid saw to that, shooting one arrow. It's an arrow, not a baseball. He was shooting one arrow. Then another arrow. Aimed straight for Frankie's heart. They had just finished a romantic Valentine's evening of bowling and bratwursts. Frankie hugged Franny and gave her a kiss. Not bad. He was getting up the nerve to propose to her, so he kissed her again. You're losing a little steam there on the kiss. This is a proposal. Better. But just as he started to pop the big question...
Oh!
Have you seen a ghost? Can you look at your card there? What does that say? Ladies and gentlemen, it says Jet. May I ask our audience, did that sound like a jet to you? Have you ever seen an airplane?
My husband sells parts to airplanes.
All right. Well, your husband needs to give you some jet instructions. Just as he started to pop the big question. You can only take some people so far. A jet flew by and drowned out his words. Cupid drew back his bow again. You're early, Cupid. Cupid drew back his bow again. Excellent. Frankie. Franny. They were together. And Frankie asked Franny once again, will you marry me? But just then the plane came by. A jet drowned out his proposal. Well, Cupid had plenty of arrows. So finally, Frankie popped the question again, and Franny was ready with a big old kiss, which being interpreted meant yes, 1,000 times yes. So the two of them married and lived happily ever after. These guys are great sports tonight. Thanks so much. You're listening to Valentine's Live with special guest Mark Schultz. What do you say we take a quick break now as we hear from one of our trusted sponsors?
Are you discouraged by your lack of spiritual growth? Wish you were further along in your faith? It's time to do more. Introducing a groundbreaking new book, 10 Steps to the 3 Keys That Unlock the 9 Secrets to the 500 Things You Must Do Now for Accelerated Christian Growth. In 12,000 power-packed pages, author Do More Stuff cranks up the heat and turns on the guilt. Available at Amazon.com or order directly from our website, www.10stepstothe3keysthatunlockthe9secretstothe500thingsyoumustdonowforacceleratedgrowth.com. Don't settle for false guilt. Get the real deal when you pick up a copy of 10 Steps to the 3 Keys That Unlock the 9 Secrets to the 500 Things You Must Do Now for Accelerated Christian Growth. Published by Checklist Living, an imprint of The Pharisee in Me Publications.
We warned you things would get a little wild up here on stage. They have. You're listening to Valentine's Live with special guest Mark Schultz. What could be more in keeping with Valentine's than grumpy people debating issues of absolutely no consequence? Don't answer, but do stand by for the McLaughlin Group.
From Moody Radio, it's the McLaughlin Group. A panel of noted journalists addressing current issues in depth. Now our host, John McLaughlin.
Thank you very much. Love is in the air, and there are issues to discuss. Let's meet our panel tonight. From Dear John Magazine, Miss Anita Hugg.
And thank you for having me, John.
Chief Correspondent for VNN, the Valentine's News Network, Mr. Mo Love is joining us.
Glad to join you, John.
Host of the syndicated matchmaking column, He Plus She, Ms. Sharon Chocolates. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
And executive editor for the Love Stinks Journal, Mr. Red Rosenblum is here.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Issue number one, the iconic Valentine personality, Cupid. This mythical creature splashes the cover of many a Valentine card, but should he? Mo Love.
Well, I personally think Cupid is a problematic figure on several fronts, but Greek and Roman mythology notwithstanding, the obvious issue is that he is never seen apart from his bow, an instrument of violence and death.
Yes. Well, get real. Those arrows Cupid shoots are arrows of love, not war.
Oh. Yeah.
Get real indeed. Don't be naive, sweetheart. More people have died for love than you could possibly count.
That's
an arrow
right.
is an arrow, and it always has a point.
It has a point.
Unlike your logic.
Oh, excuse me.
This Cupid guy is nothing more than a fun symbol of love.
Fun?
I don't know. At the end of the day, he's still pointing a weapon at people and shooting them. That's all I see.
Exactly.
I think either he should get rid of it or we should get rid of him.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly is wrong with owning a weapon for personal defense?
Oh, no. We are not going to bring the NRA into this discussion.
Yeah, Red, this is not about the Second Amendment.
No.
It's
here.
Not? You strike me as the type that would allow people to own bows so long as they didn't have access to arrows.
Oh, pardon me for saying so. I'm sorry, but this discussion is off target.
Is that so?
Yes.
Well, hear this. I'll give up my bow and arrows when they pry them from my cold, dead finger.
Right.
Conclusion tonight. Mythical Cupid may be, appropriate he is not. I say any attempt to remove Cupid from Valentine's is a goal that's on target. Issue number two, Candy Hearts. Do their imprinted quips do more harm than good? Should we get rid of these chalky, choking hazards altogether? Sharon Chocolates, what say you?
Separating Candy Hearts from Valentine's would be like taking cake away from birthday parties. Not a good idea.
Oh, brother.
Look, I'm sorry, but I am appalled that we trivialize something as deep as human endearment with cheap messages on candy that say, true love?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, to me, the deeper issue is the source of the message itself. I mean, if I read, hug me, on a candy heart, am I supposed to understand that the man who made the heart wants a hug? The person who gave me the heart wants a hug? Or the piece of candy itself would like me to embrace it somehow? I don't understand.
Exactly. I mean, somebody gives you a candy with the message, sweet talk. I'm sorry, what exactly is that supposed to mean?
Let me give you a hint. It sounds nothing like a harangue against the candy industry.
Sorry, but I'm not swallowing that.
And neither am I. Conclusion, they may be lacking in truth, but they're never lacking in taste. Candy hearts, like human hearts, are here to stay. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The McLaughlin Group, a presentation of Moody Radio.
Well, coming up here on Valentine's Live, we'll hear again from Mark Schultz. Right now, though, this word from one of our sponsors.
The American Church Potluck. An institution dripping with tradition, grease, and mystery meat. For everyone who's eaten at one and has a story, there's a book that's just for you. In A Century of Church Potlucks in America, author and photographer Philip Glutton brings you to the table. This full-color coffee table book will amaze and astound as it chronicles a century of church potlucks in America. You'll read about the 2-ton tuna casserole that fed a church, and then a town, and then a county. You'll encounter oodles of noodles, the casserole of honor roll, plus 100 truly nasty things church folks have done to Jell-O. A bonus section includes recipes like Aunt Sylvia's evil enchiladas, Brussels sprout brownies, A Century of Church Potlucks in America from Fill My Plate Publishing.
She hadn't intended to say no. He was a fine Christian gentleman, and he'd taken great pains to get to know her likes and dislikes.
Oh, that sure was a great concert, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, come on. Let's grab some dessert.
Ooh, wonderful. I could use a piece of pie.
Let me guess. Apple pie a la mode.
Heavy on the cinnamon. Oh, you know me better than I know myself.
Cool.
You know my favorite color?
Oh, seafoam green. Hey, it sure looks great on that scarf of yours.
Mm-hmm. My favorite movie?
Casablanca.
My favorite book of the Bible?
The Psalms.
You know, Robert, you're pretty special.
Like I say, she hadn't intended to say no. But she did. When her beloved Robert finally got around to proposing, the day before he left for the Korean War, Lucille told him no. Shocked, Robert knew that no bullet or bomb could hurt him more than Lulu's refusal had. In the late summer of 1951, Robert fought in the Battle of Bloody Ridge. Somewhere in the hills just north of the 38th parallel, he stepped on a landmine, took off his left leg and tore open his face. Plastic surgeons did what they could, and Robert still looked like Robert, scars notwithstanding. He took a job at a tool and die shop, hobbling on a prosthetic that never seemed to fit right, like the rest of his life. His faith in Christ still hanging in there. Self-conscious, Robert never married. Meanwhile, Lucille, or Lulu, as Robert called her, went on to become a third-grade teacher. She retired early because of deteriorating vision, never having married. For 5 years, Lucille had lived at Pine Creek Village, losing the last of her sight. Still, somehow, she knew every resident, every worker at the retirement home. So, when the stranger showed up, she took notice, and so did he.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to bump into you.
No problem at all, young lady. I'm going to be a little unsteady on my feet, too.
I don't believe I know your name. I'm Lucille.
Lucille?
Oh.
Well, my name is... you just call me Bob.
Bob?
By the way, I like the color of your scarf. Is that seafoam green?
Well, thanks. Bob, tonight they're having a special dessert fest in the activity room. Going to be 10 different kinds of pies. You want to come?
Sure. I'll see you there, Lucille.
All right. Well, Can you believe all these different pies, Bob? Now, my eyesight's pretty well gone, but, oh, the smell is fantastic. Now, how are you supposed to choose?
Well, you could just go with your favorite. Pick one out for you.
Oh, you think you know my favorite pie, huh?
Pretty sure. Apple pie? Olive mold? Heavy on the cinnamon?
No, wrong. Dead wrong. I prefer pecan pie.
Oh, what?
I haven't touched cinnamon since, well, a long time ago.
She was unnerved by this new resident, this Bob. Then he was gone for several days, until the following Friday, movie night at Pine Creek.
I haven't, bumped into you for a few days, Bob.
Well, I had to see a few doctors. What is this movie night all about?
Well, classic movies. They show one every Friday night at 7. Popcorn and lemonade, the works. I can't hardly see the screen at all, but it's still fun to go.
Well, let's see. Let me guess your favorite film. No, you're not into Westerns or action movies. And you're too much of a thinker for cheap comedy. You're more of a romantic.
I'm not so sure that...
Yeah, and your favorite movie is Casablanca.
How did you...
You're showing tonight.
No. No, I'm not going.
Why not?
Well, I'm just not. I am not going to see that movie.
Oh, come on. Hey, where are you headed, Lulu?
But when 7 o'clock rolled around, Lucille was there, in spite of herself, seated way in the back. An empty chair beside her. A man with a limp came down and plopped into the seat.
Hey, Lucille. I'm sorry. Lucille, are you mad at me or something? Come on, Lucille, say something. Say anything.
On the big screen, Humphrey Bogart peered into the eyes of Ingrid Bergman. In the big room, Robert peered into the eyes of his Lulu. Tears splashed on the back of his hand as he reached over to grab hers. She got up abruptly, and he followed her out into the hallway.
Robert, why didn't you come back to me after you came home from Korea?
Oh, I would have if you'd have said yes before I left.
Oh, Robert, I have something to ask you. And I don't want you to tell me no.
Well, no. You seem pretty determined, Lulu. What can I do for you?
Marry me? I want you to marry me, Robert.
Lulu, how could I? I mean, how could we ever...
Robert, I made the awful mistake of turning you down 56 years ago. We don't have time for you to make the same mistake.
Yeah, but you don't understand the whole story.
You don't love me? Is that it?
Of course I love you. I've never stopped loving you.
Then marry me. Marry me, Robert. I love you with all my heart.
I love you too, but... It's...
But what?
I'm a dead man. That's what.
Oh, we're both old, Robert, and I'm blind. Who cares? Marry me!
No. Stage 4 cancer, Lulu. I've got cancer of the liver. I'm in and out of the hospital with weeks, maybe months left. Not years.
Oh, marry me, Robert.
I can't.
You must.
No, I won't.
Oh, kiss me, Robert. Hold me.
1 week later, Lucy got her wish. There were rings and vows and kisses... And flowers, beautiful flowers, that one day decorated a wedding, and 3 days later, a funeral. Does Lulu regret delaying 56 years? Of course. But Lulu is looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb, where she will be forever with Jesus and Robert. Meanwhile, she prefers to celebrate the world's only marriage that never had an argument. She says this with a twinkle in her eye to anyone who will listen over a bite of apple pie a la mode, heavy on the cinnamon. Would you join me in welcoming back singer and songwriter Mark Schultz to Valentine's Live?
Thank you.
To be with you, 'cause you've got my heart, got my soul, got this promise too. Oh, I would walk 1,000 miles just to be with you. If I write 10,000 songs, 10,000 songs, it's true. 'Cause if I write 10,000 songs, I sing them all for you. 'Cause you've got my heart, got my soul, got this promise too. If I could write 10,000 songs, I sing them all for you. And if I live 100 years before my life is through, yes, if I live 100 years, I'll spend them loving you. 'Cause you've got my heart, got my soul, got this promise too. If I could live 100 years, I'd spend them loving you. If I could live 100 years, I'd spend them loving you.
Sure is great to have Mark Schultz with us tonight. Well, you think of Valentine's, and you know there's no better definition of love than what we read in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians 13.
If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal.
If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love,
I am nothing.
If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love,
I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind.
It does not envy.
It does not boast.
It is not proud.
It does not dishonor others.
It is not self-seeking.
it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Love never fails.
But where there are prophecies, they will cease.
Where there are tongues, they will be stilled.
Where there is knowledge, it will pass away.
For we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears.
When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me.
For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face.
Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known.
And now these three things remain.
Faith, hope, and love.
But the greatest of these is love.
That concludes Valentine's Live, a 55-minute Moody special. I broke into the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, and how nice to close out with that passage out of 1 Corinthians 13, known as the Love Chapter. Well, beloved one of God, the Sovereign of the universe, appreciates, cares, and loves you, as it says in James 4:8, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.